Today on Season 3, Episode 85 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, we have officially entered the offseason, and with it comes the speculation of what's ahead. Bryce and Ken dive headfirst into Packers news, including new hires and coaching candidates. We address some listener questions and everyone's favorite, fill in the blank. There's one final game left in the NFL season. Are we going to watch? Listen in and find out. And now it's time for Offseason on Tap.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers! Go, Pat, go!
Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing. Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. Unknown Packers podcast. Green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for Offseason on Tap. One of many, but we are kicking it off. Packers Offseason. Myself and my other brother from another mother, Big Bad Ken Ingles. How are you doing a week removed from the NFC Championship game loss?
Oh, man. Thanks for bringing that up, buddy. I know. No, I'm okay. Little under the weather, but I'm powering through with you here tonight.
Sorry, man.
You know, it's crazy. The off season's here, and it's going to be coming at us fast. I mean, as of recording this, we're only 45 days from the start of the league year, and there's so much that needs to be done between now and then. It's crazy.
That's what I'm talking about, Ken. 45 days. Do we take the off season? Hell no. We thrive in the off season. Giddy up. We acquired you last offseason. We have extended you indefinitely. If anything, the structure of Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, and Coach LaFleur and Russ Ball is essentially what we got going on at the Unknown Packers podcast with you, myself, and Niebles. And they said the structure wouldn't work. Am I talking about myself or I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers? But the structure so far for the Green Bay Packers has worked, and I feel like things have been going so great for the Unknown Packers podcast. We're approaching 4 years. I'm excited for this offseason, and let's kick it off. There's press conferences that released with Coach LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. We're going to weave that in. Actually, that'll be a focal point for this first half. We're going to weave in some other Packers news. We're going to do some fan questions, fill in the blank, and then we'll wrap up with a little Super Bowl talk. I guess we got to talk about the Super Bowl. But
lame.
Let's get this out of the way. There's some who would have thought there's some clickbait journalism going around about Packers denying the Rams' request of a trade of Aaron Rodgers, and Coach Brian Gutekunst mentioned in his press conference that normally he doesn't talk about any sort of trade talk behind the curtain with other teams, but he flat out said that did not happen. We can squash that. And I think that's
I don't know about squashing that. I'll be honest.
I'm curious. What do you have to say? Because that perked my ears up when Gutekunst said, hey, normally I don't talk about this, but that did not happen is what I gathered.
Right. I don't know. The report where that came from, I believe Sam Farmer is the guy who had that, who works at LA Times. He's a pretty respected guy, and he wouldn't go with something like that unless there was something there. I believe I saw Aaron Nagler go back and forth with him today a little bit about that on Twitter, talking about remembering the times when he was the guy who actually started breaking the news that the Packers might be shopping Favre way back when. And the organization flat out denied that as well at the time. You know, this is the offseason. Gutekunst has a job to do right now. Obviously, you know, you talked about the rumor mills and, you know, a lot of clickbait articles and a lot of stuff going on with the Rodgers right now and a lot of nonsense talk going on there. You know, I felt like a lot of today with the press conferences, a lot of that was we have to make sure that today is the day that everyone loves Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing that we can say that any way is going to give any impression that Aaron Rodgers will never be a Packer again, right? And you look at everything LaFleur said, everything that Gutekunst said, and even if if you think about it on the front end, what was the report? The Rams asked, hey, is Rodgers available? And the report was Packers like, nope, not available. Sorry.
But why wouldn't Gutekunst say that? Like, why wouldn't you say that in the press conference?
Because,
like, hey, they asked.
Because you can't give any notion that there's any availability of Rodgers. It needs to be an unthinkable event. That's just me and a little bit of, you know, some other conversations I've had with some other folks who have had some conversations as well.
We've had I've had conversations.
There's been conversations with conversations, and I feel like there's a little bit more to that. Now, I do not think at all the Packers are shopping Rodgers. 0%.
Is not going to be about that.
Right. Right. But I just wanted to say, you know, that no truth to that whatsoever. Like, I think there's a little bit of truth. It's probably somewhere in the middle. But again, this is today, you know, these press conferences was Aaron Rodgers. We love him. He's not going anywhere ever. He's the guy for the future and many years to come.
And for those that haven't checked it out yet, when we're talking about today, the press conference is released Monday, February 1st with Gutekunst and Coach LaFleur. They're each about, I don't know, half an hour long. Go take a listen. I got extremely excited. I might be a little bit more subdued now after I talk to Ken a little bit and get another perspective, but I will echo what you were saying with what LaFleur and Gutekunst said, that, you know, Rodgers is going to be here for a long time. That's what I wanted to hear. And what I found fascinating was when Gutekunst, this is the one thing that, another thing that I guess perked my ears up, when he talked about Hasselbeck and Aaron Brooks of developing the quarterback position. Correct me if I'm wrong. He mentioned how valuable the quarterback position is. This is a quarterback-driven league. You're looking at the last four teams, AFC and NFC. They all have great quarterback play. That's what drives this league. So there's a big emphasis on that. I thought it was interesting that he again highlighted the fact of developing Hasselbeck, developing Aaron Brooks. Now, granted, those weren't first-round draft picks. Granted, those weren't draft picks that you traded up for to grab. But I felt like it was another slice of the pie, if you will. It made me right. feel a little bit, because I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP.
Well, Green Bay does things differently when it comes to the quarterback position, right? You know, Andrew Brandt recently addressing that same topic with these older quarterbacks. It's like every couple of years we draft a quarterback to trade him. We would draft him, develop him, and the plan was to always trade him and be there in case something ever happened to Brett Favre, which was never going to happen because it was Brett Favre, the most durable quarterback to ever play the game and who will ever play the game, right? But that all changed when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. They're like, oh, well, the plan's not to trade this guy. So, but Green Bay does things differently. They had no problem sitting Rodgers for 3 years. Gutekunst mentioned that again today where, you know, he said, yeah, we have no problem sitting Jordan Love for as long as it, you know, let him sit there and develop while we compete for championships with Aaron. And I believe that. But I also believe if there's a time where the organization looks at Jordan Love and they think that he's ready, everything can flip like that.
Well, I guess I wasn't expecting that. But that's, again, that's what I appreciate about you, Ken. That's what I appreciate, again, how much research and attention to detail, I guess, we put into this, and we look at the organization holistically. We have to take a step back. For me, in those press conferences, Coach LaFleur talked about how he was grateful for Mike Pettine, how he was grateful for Menenga, which there was another thing that I really appreciated from Coach LaFleur. One, the accountability aspect. He talked about how I was not expecting a question to be asked about would he ever give up play calling duties when they were the number one offense in the NFL. But the way he responded, the way he articulated it was, I've got all the trust in the world with Nathaniel Hackett and Getsy and Stenovich. And if that point comes, I've got no problem relinquishing that. Now, will that happen? I doubt it. But again, I rather than just give regurgitated run-of-the-mill responses, I really appreciate LaFleur giving thoughtful, considerate responses, which is something that I guess over the course of 2.5 years now, you're really realizing that that's part of LaFleur's fabric. And when we're talking about
Patton
and Menenga being out, I want to clarify for everyone. I saw a couple articles where they said that the Packers fired Mike Patton. They did not fire him. They chose not to renew him. His contract expired. So I wanted to clear that.
And that's the weird thing, too. Like, so apparently standard operating procedure, and I've, you know, learned this past week, is that if a coordinator is coming up on their last year under contract, you typically roll them over into another year. So they're always kind of on 2 year deals. Duck. You never want to be in a lame duck season. Not LaFleur, but Patton said, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, right.
I'll take my 1 year. And so you kind of wonder, it's like, did Patton want out? Because when we recorded last week, you know, we were like, oh, well, he just, his contract might be up in the first place, right? Because he signed a 3 year deal originally, forgetting, you know, or not knowing that this rollover structure that they do to kind of keep you around as long as you want. So you got to wonder, you know, he was there. He was a McCarthy guy who was told, yeah, you should probably keep this guy around when LaFleur came on. And you got to wonder, you know, maybe he's looking for something else outside of Green Bay. Maybe things weren't all, you know, sunshine and rainbows in the coaching room. Who knows?
And we talked about this last week that LaFleur wants his guy. And
he wants his dude.
And he, I feel like, has a success, a high success rate. You're looking at Nathaniel Hackett. You're looking at Luke Getsy, even though he, you know, he's a Packers returner, if you will. Coached at Mississippi State, came back and is coaching quarterbacks now. And you're looking at Stenovich. I mean, they get rid of James Campen, and everyone's like, ooh, is that a good move? Well, it worked out really well. And now Stenovich is a guy that people are eyeing up. Same with Hackett, and I'm sure Getsy as well. So let's roll into this. So with the whole defensive coordinator position now being open, the Packers search has begun. And as of Monday, February 1st, the Packers are interviewing Chargers passing game coordinator Joe Barry, Washington defensive backs coach Chris Harris, and Rams safety coach, I'm going to butcher his name, but Alejandro Avero and Rob Demoski reported that those aren't the only candidates, but it's a starting point for coach Matt LaFleur. And in the press conference, there are a couple questions that asked, what are you looking for in terms of philosophy? What are you looking for? And again, I really appreciate Coach LaFleur and how articulate he is, how mindful he is that, well, this is an ongoing search, so I'm not going to say anything that's going to jeopardize this interview process. Again, something just, at least for me, I grabbed onto that, how cerebral, how thoughtful he is. And we have a fan question from Jeremiah Wayman, one of our co-founders, the original brother from another mother, co-host and graphic designer. He had asked, who is our favorite defensive coordinator person that we're looking for outside of the organization? I know that Jerry Gray and Mike Smith come to mind internally. Now news are out that LaFleur is starting his coaching search. Out of these names, and maybe you have another one, what are you thinking about in terms of the defensive coordinator? Because Coach LaFleur talked about, I want someone that's aggressive. I want consistency. I want people to swarm to the ball. And we've heard that often. Not sure what that will all envision. But now with all this news, who are you looking at in terms of the defensive coordinator position? Anything that you wanted to add with the people that I just mentioned?
Sure. Well, I know there's one other name that I put on my list that had shown up in reports, I think, from earlier today. And that's what Chris Richard, who was the Seattle defensive coordinator for a bit, but took the year off. This past year was out of football. So that's a name that's floating around. Man, outside the organization, that's tough. You know, I guess if I had to pick anybody of the list that we talked about, Jerry Gray kind of gets my nod. But outside, you know what? I'll be honest. I really don't have a favorite or a guy that I'm specifically looking for. I'm more or less looking for traits, you know, similar to like what LaFleur was talking about. My biggest thing is, are they an effective teacher? Because at the end of the day, that's what you are. You are coordinators, especially at the highest level, are teachers. They are teachers of grown men too, not college boys. And so you have to be a teacher and be able to lead grown men on the field and off the field in the classroom and be able to tailor your approach to each individual man. And so I don't know much about the safeties coach from the Rams or the defensive passing coordinator from the Chargers, right? Like, or, you know, what have you. Like, I don't know enough about them to talk about that. But I'm hoping that whoever they bring in, that's like top of list, top of mind. The other point, I guess, is, you know, not so much a 3-4 versus 4-3 concept type thing, because I know there's so much sub-package stuff in the modern NFL, but even in that sub-package, it's important, okay? So you're probably going to have five defensive backs most of the time. So then who are your, how's your front six? Do you want four big guys? Do you want three big guys? Do you want two big guys most of the time? And that's important because you either need more big guys or you need more athletes, linebackers on your team. And so that's important going into this offseason. Gutekunst talked about that a little bit in his press conference today. You know, it'll shape it a little bit, you know, which guys we might target. He feels that they've got a pretty versatile roster on that side of the ball that could fill in and play. But again, if you're going to be going switching base concepts to have more big dudes, that's a big change. And so just understanding what their kind of philosophy is for that sub system when you're only going to have six guys on the front, and then are you a good teacher? I can't really point to one of the names because I don't know enough about them, but I hope that come interview time, they can really articulate what their thoughts are for this team and what this defense can be.
Wow. What a thoughtful, in-depth answer. I was mesmerized. I hope everyone else that was tuning in was mesmerized as well. I just learned a bunch in that couple minutes that you were talking about, Ken. I will echo your sentiments as well about Jerry Gray last year. Not necessarily around this time specifically, but I'd say about maybe March of 2020, I had recorded and said that I think Jerry Gray is the biggest offseason acquisition for the Green Bay Packers. Turned out that right. was true. And he's a former defensive coordinator. You're looking at the ascension of Darnell Savage, the growth and the maturity, I guess, of Adrian Amos. And you're looking at just superstardom, an elite true shutdown corner in Jair Alexander. What Gray did was absolutely impressive. I wonder if that gives him a leg up in terms of the people that I mentioned. And also to answer Jeremiah's question, I mean, the thing that I don't want is a retread. I don't want a former head coach that comes in as now a defensive coordinator, much like what Dallas is doing with Dan Quinn. And that's what, you know, you had sent me the text of this from Rob Domofsky. These are who the Packers are interviewing. And the first thing that came to mind was, ooh, I'm seeing names that aren't common, like rethread of the Marvin Lewis's or, you know, Dom Capers, Wade Phillips, all that right. stuff. So that's...
I don't want the sexy name, right? Mm-hmm. Think about LaFleur. I remember when he got hired, it was like, who is this guy?
Right.
He was terrible. He was, you know, the offense in Tennessee was terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's the offensive coordinator. He can't even coach a team. And it's not about necessarily production on the field. It's what are you doing to get your men mm-hmm. ready? And I'm with you. Like, I don't want some failed head coach to come in and put on the, you know, defensive coordinator hat and say, okay, I'm ready to do this now. Like, I want someone who's ascending at their job and not descending.
And we kind of did that with Mike Pettine, even though he took some time off and he was a consultant for the Seattle Seahawks. But I mean, he was a former head coach, and that was something that LaFleur leaned on, wanted someone with a little bit more expertise. There might've been a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge during the interview process of, hey, we've already got our defensive coordinator. Can you work with him sort of thing? So now LaFleur gets his guy. The one person out of these names that I mentioned that I'm really keen in on is Chris Harris. You might all remember him. He used to play for the Chicago Bears. That Chris Harris. This is a guy that has, in 6 years from playing football to now coaching, is a superstar. I mean, you're looking at an ascending name to keep an eye on. So that's the person I'm really honing in on, much like with LaFleur. He was a rising name, younger, wasn't a retread. People were like, oh, he can't even handle a press conference. We hired him as our head coach. Chris Harris is the guy that I am really gravitating towards as a name to keep an eye on. Not And that's no shade at Joe Barry or Aviero. And if I'm butchering his name, my apologies. And if we end up hiring him, I will make sure that I get that pronunciation correct. But Chris Harris, for me, is just someone that I am intrigued by. There's not a lot. I know he was the Washington defensive backs coach. He was also in Carolina, I believe, as well. And what you're seeing, actually, my apologies, he's the assistant defensive backs coach for the Chargers from 2016 to 2019. So he worked with Casey Hayward. And then he joined the Washington staff a year ago, this Washington Redskins defense that's really good. So he's a guy that's continuing to ascend, much like another coach, Mo Drayton, a guy that maybe people are thinking, oh, another internal hire
for special teams.
For special
right?
teams, a holdover, you know, Menenga and that special teams was not good. Why are we promoting a guy that was beneath Menenga? But when you listen to Coach LaFleur in his press conference, they affectionately called him Mo Drayton. They were saying how enthusiastic he was, how much energy he brings. They were afraid that he was going to get plucked elsewhere. So another rising coach within our own organization, and LaFleur wanted to make sure that he wouldn't go anywhere. Also, Drayton was interviewed for that special teams position, and LaFleur even mentioned in his press conference saying, I didn't know a lot about him, but I knew that I wanted to hire him in some shape or form. So it does seem that LaFleur was impressed by him initially and almost sort of like as an understudy, brought him in to see like, okay, does this guy have what it takes? I don't think he predicted that Menenga was going to produce what he produced at the special teams coaching level. But Drayton is another guy that LaFleur seemed really excited about. He's a guy that I'm sort of excited about. And I'm paralleling that with, for some reason, Chris Harris is the name that I'm gravitating towards. A younger former player, a younger name, a rising star, if you will. But those are things that I wanted to mention with you. What are your thoughts with, one, my talk of Harris, and then two, Mo Drayton?
Man, well, you've got me intrigued on Harris. So I need to start maybe leafing through some of the articles out there on him, and maybe you've got me excited. You got me pumped up for that one.
Former player.
One thing I noticed too, as I'm kind of looking through this list, and as you know, we're describing kind of what their backgrounds are. A lot of these guys have backgrounds in the secondary, right? Safeties coaches, Jerry Gray, obviously what he's doing back in the secondary. Defensive passing coordinator. You know, Harris with his, you know, work back also in the defensive backfield. It seems like there's a common thread.
Yep.
So that's kind of interesting. And Mo Drayton, that's great. It sounds like what? He's had a 2-year basically on the job interview.
Yeah, internship essentially.
He was impressive enough where they wanted to keep him around. And I know there's a lot of flack at first, like, oh, like Menenga is so bad and the special teams are so bad. How can we just be promoting a guy, you know, underneath him? He'll be bad too. And you remember what I said in our group text right after that?
Vividly.
I'm like, you can be really good at your job and have a real shitty boss.
I know. I love that.
And, you know, let's hope that that's the case, you know, that he's one of those guys who can, you know, goes to work every day being like, man, you know, if only I was in charge, things would be a lot better around here, right? And so let's hope that that's the case. But sounds like he's going to be another one of those, like, player favorite guys. Yep. That this locker room has really seems to bond with and like really click with. Let's hope that that's the case here for Mo.
Well, you can't get any worse than what the special teams was. at least I hope not. So that so far from a week from the NFC Championship loss to now, two things have happened. They didn't renew Coach Pettine, which I predicted that he wouldn't be back, and two, Menenga being released. So now they have Mo Drayton, and now they're getting through their defensive coordinator interview search. And by the time we record next time, maybe they had their defensive coordinator, and we can talk about that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back in the second half with fan questions, fill in the blank, and I guess we got to talk about this Super Bowl that's coming up, some big game. We'll be right back right after this. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And we are back with the second half of offseason on tap. And as Ken and I were talking about before we hit record, as Ken said, an offseason of many. We're really excited to be diving in. We felt like we did our year three breakout, if you will, in the offseason this past year. Looking forward to taking that next step this offseason with salary cap, combine, draft stuff, the new season, like Ken mentioned, 45 days away. So wash away that stench of that NFC Championship game. We are Packer fans, and we are plugging away. Those press conferences, they fired me up. I hope they fired you up as well. We've got a couple of fan questions and then some fill in the blank. But right off the bat, Ken, big bad Ken Ingles and the salary caps. That's a new band name.
Oh, man.
We had a question regarding exclusive rights free agents and restricted free agents, I believe. And I'm curious, let's go into the mind. Being Ken Ingles, what do you have to share in regards to those two categories?
Okay. I think specifically there, the question was around, like, who's on the list for each of those and, like, maybe who's coming back. So I'll back up first. So exclusive rights free agents and restricted free agents are guys whose contracts are up, but they can't sign anywhere, hence being exclusive rights or restricted. They've got restrictions to what kind of their options are. And the reason for that, it's all based in the CBA, and it's based on how much years of experience that you have when your contract expires. So first, the exclusive rights guys, those are guys who are going to have two or less years of accrued seasons in the NFL when your contract is up at the end of the year. And an accrued season is more or less six games.
Yep.
So if you play six games, I believe if you're on IR, six games. I have to look back. There's certain categories where roster status where it does count for credited season versus accrued season. I'd have to like bust that out again. I haven't looked at it in several months because we haven't entered the offseason. But basically just think six games. And so there are five guys right now who fall into that category. There were more, but towards the end of the season, guys like Ben Braden got fully promoted to the active roster. So now he's actually under contract for next season. But he would have been one of these exclusive rights guys. But we've got Kavion Ento, cornerback. If you remember, he was the guy who, he was around in 2019, flashed a little bit, yep. And then kind of had high hopes for him in 2020. And I think he broke his foot like late in training camp.
Right.
And
he's a former wide receiver too, right?
That sounds right. And they liked him enough where they actually kept him on the 53-man roster for one day and then put him on IR with the hopes that they could return him for the season. But they were unable to do that. So he actually spent the entire year on injured reserve. You got your boy Randy Ramsey, Rambo, outside linebacker.
Randy.
Malik Taylor. Wide receiver who was kind of the surprise make of the 53-man right. roster, who was active all but one game, surprisingly. He didn't make a lot of splash on the box score, but he was definitely in the game plan and was a special teams contributor and had offensive snaps. Didn't just get the ball as much in this offense. Yosh Nijman, offensive tackle. He was active again every single game this season. I don't think he got much playing time. He may have had like very quick spot duty on games where they pulled their starters. There was like one or two games where like the last drive, they didn't have some of their starting guys in or during kneel downs, or if there was like an injury where they had to shuffle around. I don't think he didn't get any meaningful playing time.
Okay.
And then the big one, Alan Lazard, feels like he's been around forever, but he technically only has two crude season. So
wow.
I think every single one of these guys is going to be back. They're super cheap. Like Alan Lazard is going to be $850,000.
What a steal.
The absolute cheapest contract that you can give an undrafted free agent rookie next year. So a guy with zero experience walking off the street is $660,000. So Alan Lazard is like next to nothing. And that's what he's going to be coming back for as wide receiver two or three, $850,000. And that's as expensive as it gets. Like a guy like Kavion Ento, who didn't play anything, $660,000. He's the cheapest.
Interesting.
I think all five of those guys are coming back. The next group is those restricted free agents. Those are the guys who have 3 years three accrued seasons when their contract is up. And they can technically go out and try and get a contract from somebody else. Let me back up. The Packers have the option to place a tender on them saying it's basically a one-year contract and there's multiple levels. Once you get high enough up, you can basically say, if another team signs you, we get the right to match that deal.
Right.
But if we don't want to match it, we get draft picks back. So there's a first round tender where if someone were to sign them, Packers will get a first round draft pick from the team who signed them. There's second round. There's a right of first refusal in the original round. So there's four levels and they get more expensive as you go up and down. These guys are Raven Green, the safety, Tim Boyle, backup quarterback, your boy Bobby Tanyan, Tyler Lancaster on the defensive line, Chandon Sullivan, who was our nickelback this year, starter, and Perry Nickerson, who was a cornerback who didn't do much, and I think
Tulane
ended up on IR. What was that?
Tulane.
Oh, yeah.
I liked him in college.
So this is where it gets tricky. Who comes back? I've got one guy, like, 100% coming back on a tender, and that's got to be Robert Tonyan.
I was going to say his name, Ken. Say it.
So I think the Packers place a second-round tender on him, meaning it'd be a $3.384 million contract 1 year. And if another team signs him to an offer sheet and we do not want to match it, saying, you know what, that we don't want to do that, we get a second round pick in return. Reason we won't do an original round, which is over $1 million cheaper, is he was an undrafted guy. So we'd get nothing back. So I think they have to go to that second round level. After that, like Tim Boyle, I can't see them putting an original round tender to even counter someone's offer. Cause if not, you have to pay him $2 million and they're already paying $2 million to a backup quarterback. His name is Jordan Love. I don't see it. I think if Jordan Love can't be the backup quarterback in year two,
big red flags.
Yikes.
Yep.
And they might be able to sign Tim Boyle anyways. Raven Green's tricky. He's always hurt. Lancaster, I don't know if he's worth that price. Chandon Sullivan's had up and down games. You know, I could see them maybe not tendering him and hoping that he sneaks past.
Which you could,
but
maybe.
The one guarantee for me is Bobby, Big Bobby.
I love it. And that question, when I saw that pop up, I was like, this is Big Bad Ken. And beautifully said. And speaking, actually, I'll hold on. Maybe a little bit of a premonition, but we've got one final. And first of all, I really appreciate the breakdown. Even though, I know exclusive right free agents and restricted free agents, I forget. And so, I just got a nice little refresher, a little one-on-one right there. And fascinating stuff. Good job for Bobby Tanyan,
hey.
The Sycamore. And good job for you, my bad. Good job for you.
Oh, I just assumed you were showering me with praise, Bryce.
No, I love my that bad. Breakdown. I mean, again, that information, all the work, all the prep that you do, it's not just in a blink of an eye. So you have done your due diligence and you share that knowledge with me, which I'm humbled to be in your presence virtually and to the masses, everyone that tunes in. But on top of that, Bobby Tanyan, undrafted free agent, a guy that got cut by the Detroit Lions, picked up by the Packers, all this stuff. And now he's looking like he's going to get a nice contract for what was a breakout year for him. And I'm not done talking about Bobby Tanyan, but we've got one final fan question before we do fill in the blank. And Daniel Kotnick, was it DK all the way, at DK all the way?
Oh, yeah.
Fan favorite and a loyal supporter of the Unknown Packers podcast, also fellow podcaster himself. He had asked, what is your favorite Packers memory from this past season? And since we just talked about Bobby Tanyan, when I saw this question, the thing that popped up in my head right off the bat, and I just have to go with that. I just have to go with my initial reaction, my organic reaction, was Robert Tanyan's three tugs against the Atlanta Falcons Monday night. And I also, not only was that just a beautiful performance and I cried, much like when you cried when A.J. Dillon blew up against the Tennessee Titans in week 16, but it was also a defining moment, I believe, in our friendship and the overall collaboration of the Unknown Packers podcast, because you were worried about me. You had sent a text being like, hey, let's check in on Bryce, make sure he's doing okay after these three touchdowns. So one, I felt like it was a defining moment in our friendship, in our my significant other podcaster, if you will. And on top of that, it was just a very memorable performance from Robert Tonyan. And I had been calling him TE1 for quite some time. And now everyone is. And so I feel like the gods had restored everything that I invested in Robert Tonyan, to see him go off for three touchdowns. And now looking like he's going to land a nice contract as well. But that is my, it might not be what everyone's thinking of when it comes to favorite Packers memory, but that is the one that comes to mind, was that performance, especially the somersault, getting right back up, scoring that touchdown, not once, not twice, but three times.
Man, Bright, that's a good one. And I'll just say that we are on the same page, my friend, and you'll see why. So when I saw this list, or when I saw this question, I made a quick list. Three things hit the list. One, the fact that we even had a season and that it's finishing, mm-hmm. right? The Super Bowl is a week away, and there's a chance that the actual season might not have even gotten off the ground. And here we are. 2020 is going to be in the books.
Crazy.
And which is just crazy to even think about all the chaos that the season was and what COVID brought to it. My second one was, of course, I was thinking about you, Big Bobby.
No way.
Yes, that's absolutely. Awesome. Week three, three touchdowns. I remember what that what that felt like. I was so excited. I was excited for you. The one where he fell over and still got up and caught the touchdown wide open.
The Yogi.
Like, it was a crazy game. But of course, you called it what you thought mine would be, right? Mm. Week 16, December 24th, right after Christmas and my birthday, versus the Tennessee Titans at Lambeau Field in the cold, in the snow. No Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones goes down. And so A.J. Dillon is the hero. 21 rushes, 124 yards, two touchdowns, and two terrible Lambeau leaps. But man, I was a proud supporter. I feel like I was on his bandwagon mm-hmm. from the get-go, excited to see what he could do if ever given the opportunity. The opportunity came and he delivered. And it makes me excited for this 2021 season, assuming he's going to be in a lead role for right. this team. And it makes me, of course, you know, you called it. I knew yours would be, you know, Big Bobby, and you knew mine would be AJ Dillon.
I love this. I love this so much. And so you mentioned about COVID and the pandemic. That was actually another thought that came to mind was, well, you know, what a memory is that the Packers went unscathed, essentially. I mean, A.J. Dillon was on the COVID-19 list. You also had, Chris Barnes as well. And then you had some other, I think those were the only two outside of that. So I wanted to give us a shout out to Doug Collins and Brian Engel. They were mentioned in Brian Gutekunst's press conference. Everything that they did from a public health and safety standpoint, it's truly remarkable what the Packers did in terms of everyone buying in, the protocols set up. So it's what's so great too is that we're not even a year in, you and me co-hosting, and it's just like you get me, I get you. And it's something that when we had brought you on, I knew that you and I hit it off right off the bat. But to see this also just like, this is what I think Ken is thinking. This is what I think Bryce is thinking. It is humbling. I am grateful. And I'm excited to continue to record with you week in and week out. And, that answer got me a little verklempt. Very touching. I appreciate you, Ken.
I appreciate you, Bryce.
That was a moment. I don't know if anyone... That was palpable. That was a moment. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed articulating it. We've got fill in the blank, one apiece, and then we'll talk about this big game, I guess, that's coming up. And my fill-in-the-blank question for you, I mean, you're the inventor of the fill-in-the-blank, but I've been dying to know just your lens, just your knowledge and everything. This is something that I've been really eager, and I'm sure everyone that's tuning in is probably eager as well, or at least I hope so. But the Packers' biggest offseason move will be blank.
Oof. Wow, that's a good one. What will their biggest move be?
Right. You know, they talked about it in the press conference, Aaron Jones. Corey Linsley's getting a lot of attention on do they retain their all-pro center. They're bringing in a new defensive coordinator. They promoted Mo Drayton. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback again in 2021.
Of course.
No questions. But I'm really curious from your perspective.
All right. So it's tough because I think that they've already made their big moves. I think they signed, they signed David Bakhtiari to be the highest paid left tackle in the league.
We forgot about that already.
Was not a insignificant deal by any means. Oh, by the way, they also made Kenny Clark the highest paid nose tackle in the league as well. Those are big moves. Those are big, big moves. Some other things, though, that are definitely coming that I think are critical for this team is you need to throw the fifth-year option on Jair. I think that's a no-brainer. But what that does is it allows you to not have to extend him next year and keep him cheap when you need him to be cheap because you still have him under contract and control for the following 2022. You know, we talked about Tonyan.
Yep.
I think instead of that restricted free agent tender, he could get extended instead. And I think that there's a lot of value in that. It could be cheaper cap-wise. And I think they know that, you know, that he could be a big part of this team and might as well get the deal done now, especially if there's opportunity to you know, cap-wise to make it a little bit more beneficial. But beyond all that, I think that there's a big opportunity to extend Devontae.
Wow.
And okay. He might be, I guess, the splash move. Mm. And they can save $4 million, maybe $6 million, maybe, depending on how they structure it in cap. He's due to make quite a bit of, or cost pretty high against the cap going into his last year. And I think that that becomes the big move in terms of guys that we know. Guys that we don't know from outside the team, you know, it's way too early to tell, right. You know, where things could land.
I was more talking internally.
Yeah.
I like it.
But obviously you got all the coaching stuff, but like for me on the field, I feel like that's the bread and butter. I don't see another, like you mentioned Jerry Gray this past season, right? Being one of the biggest moves. And I agree with you. I just don't know if there's something in the pike like that. You know, maybe we'll see. But those are my big ones. You gotta lock up your own guys. They are a draft and develop team, but then the next piece of that is pay.
Yep.
And for the guys that they can keep around, I think they will. And unfortunately, we're gonna say goodbye to a lot of talented guys, both in free agency and just more or less cap casualties. But you know, these will be the ones I think we get to celebrate and be excited about.
Wow. There were things that you did not say that were pretty telling, but I...
Ooh, go for it. What?
Well, I think it was pretty impressive, or what I think is something that I wasn't expecting, 1 fifth-year option of Jair Alexander. I mean, I am expecting it, but I didn't expect you to respond that way. And then the Devontae Adams extension. I was gravitating more towards Corey Linsley and Aaron Jones. And so the curveball of these are the moves that I think are going to make, that's what I feel like what you didn't say is pretty telling moving forward, is some tough decisions are going to be made that Gutekunst alluded to in his press conference. And you being you and all the knowledge that you have in terms of the salary cap and the team, what you say, I feel sometimes can be like gospel. Like I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to key in on this now. So fifth year option and extension of Devontae Adams. Those might have been maybe 3 or 4 on my list, to be quite honest. I was kind of thinking maybe Linsley would be that guy. But like I said, what you didn't say was pretty telling for me.
Yeah, you know, a guy like Linsley, as soon as Bakhtiari got his deal, I'm like, okay, Linsley's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I said 2 years ago when they had Bulaga, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
And Bakhtiari and Linsley, I was very adamant about this. I'm like, you got three guys who are going to be near their 30s. Who are all looking for their third contracts on the offensive line. And I think one gets it, and it's probably going to be the left tackle. And then since then, We drafted a center.
Yeah.
We have Elgton Jenkins, who can also play center at a high level. And, you know, we also have Patrick, who can step in and play the position as well. They got three guys who can step in and fill that role at a high level if needed. Two at least. Third, you know, is a project.
Well said.
I don't think he comes back, even though he's an all pro center.
Crazy.
It's all about replacing guys, and this year it's tough.
Well, this is fascinating as always, and I could actually sit here and talk for hours with you. And
same, man. But
but you know, we get closer
Alas, we cannot. We have to start wrapping it up here, and I've got one fill-in-the-blank question for you.
All right.
And it's the 2021 Packers team will be blank compared to this 2020 team we just saw.
The thing that popped into my head immediately was this will be more LaFleur's team. I don't know. This will be year three.
I like it.
Year three of Coach LaFleur. Everyone was so worried about the structure of Murphy and Gutekunst and LaFleur and Ball. And look at Gutekunst even mentioned. But you do humble me, you ground me a little bit that there are things that he says that maybe he has to say, but talking about everyone pitching in, it's a individual effort looking at the whole team. But I think now you have Mo Drayton, who Coach LaFleur really wanted. You're going to have a new defensive coordinator. You're going to have another draft class of Coach LaFleur's. You saw this past year of players that got selected that many people did not expect, which were more aligned to what Coach LaFleur wants. So I think this will be year three will be a step in the direction of it being Coach LaFleur's team even more so.
Wow. I love that answer. I had no idea where you'd take it, but I fully agree. Wow, yeah, I really appreciate that answer, especially thinking about the draft, like you mentioned, right? This will now be the third draft under his belt,
yep.
Right? Or under his influence of these are the type of guys I want. These are the type of guys I don't want. This is what I'm trying to do on offense. Seems like he's now having a lot more opinion about what's happening on the defensive side of the ball as
right.
well. Yeah, probably not where I would have taken the question, but I love where you answer it. Like, I love it. I love that we approach things completely different sometimes.
I know.
And that's what I love about these fill in the blank questions.
Same.
And think on the fly and not knowing what you're going to get. I love it.
Same. And this is your invention, and we appreciate all of the fan questions as well. And the updated Packer news, we're going to do an episode a week in the off season. We did two episodes each week in season, and you will catch those episodes every Wednesday this off season. So we appreciate everyone's support. Looking forward to a big fourth year of the Unknown Packers podcast. Before we bid adieu for off season on tap, you going to watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I don't know. It was funny. Like, I was actually sitting on the couch last night with my wife, just got the kid to bed, and we're watching TV. I'm like, hey, you know, it was a week away from the Super Bowl. I'm like, what do you want to do for the Super Bowl? And you can't, you know, COVID being what it is, mm-hmm. and just, you know, not being too excited about it, given what happened with the Packers. And she's like, I don't know. Watch it. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I'll watch it. But yeah, it's kind of sucks. You know, it would have been really fun to see a Packers-Bills Super Bowl, but of course we're left with, you know, freaking Tom Brady again in the Super Bowl and Pat Mahomes. You know, it's just can't avoid it. It's inevitable.
Interesting. Last week I was about to boycott the Super Bowl because I was grieving. This week I'm just, it's weird. I'm eager to see Brady Mahomes. I am sort of dumbfounded by, I thought it was the Bill Belichick way, to be honest, in New England. And it looks like it was the Tom Brady way and what he's doing. I know that Packers were the better team. I know that. And it's going to sting. But at that same time, like you mentioned, we didn't even know if we were going to have a season. So for it to be less than a week away for the Super Bowl, I'm going to soak it in. I'm going to eat some good food, hang out with my wife, maybe do a couple prop bets. But
there you go.
You know, I'll enjoy it for what it is, and I'm not going to take anything for granted, especially what we all endured this past year. And for however they were able to do it, whether they did it covertly or not, the NFL season from start to finish happened. And if you would have asked me that in the middle of the summer in 2020, I would have said no. That there wasn't going to be a seat, or if there was, it was going to get shut down. Maybe all this speculation of maybe we're going to put these divisions in a hub and then we're going to have all these things. And here we are. We are less than a week away for the Super Bowl. So I'm going to appreciate it for what it is. And I am going to be really intrigued if Brady can pull it off, but it'd be really nice to see. I love Patrick Mahomes. I think the Kansas City organization is great. It'd be pretty cool to see them go back to back. So there are things from both teams that I'm really intrigued about. So I'm going to enjoy it, eat some good food. I'll probably be texting you as well as Niebels. But there you have it. I look forward to next week. We'll talk. There'll be some more Packers news. We'll probably talk a little bit more fan questions. And, of course, fill in the blank. I'm going to spend this week studying because I thought this was a great fill in the blank segment.
We got the Yuppies coming up, too.
Yuppies, that's right. We've got the Yuppies next week. Oh, my God. I forgot about the Yuppies. Fans, we've got the Yuppies next week. So MVP, Rookie of the Year, offense, defense. Maybe we'll just do one Rookie of the Year. We still got some things to do, but last year, Niebels and I did the Yuppies. I'm thrilled that it'll be you, me, and Niebels doing the Yuppies. Looking forward to that. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I forgot about that. I'm so excited. And got the Yuppies and go. Got the Super Bowl.
Got you hyped up now. You're like, yeah, I'll watch the Super Bowl, but we got the Yuppies, boys and girls. Let's go.
Oh, man. On that note, I am Bryce Christensen.
And I'm Ken Ingles.
And this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack Go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.